Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I bring to you part three of a multi-part series entitled Through the Valley, with today's message specifically entitled Lament and Honesty, based off of Job chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. So let us dive into the Word today. Look, I have seen all this with my own eyes and heard it with my own ears, and now I understand. I know as much as you do. You are no better than I am. As for me, I would speak directly to the Almighty. I want to argue my case with God Himself. As for you, you smear me with lies. As physicians, you are worthless quacks. If only you could be silent. That's the wisest thing you could do. Listen to my charge. Pay attention to my arguments. Are you defending God with lies? Do you make your dishonest arguments for His sake? Will you slant your testimony in His favor? Will you argue God's case for Him? What will happen when He finds out what you are doing? Can you fool Him as easily as you fool people? No, you will be in trouble with Him if you secretly slant your testimony in His favor. Doesn't His Majesty terrify you? Doesn't your fear of Him overwhelm you? Your platitudes are as valuable as ashes. Your defense is as fragile as a clay pot. Be silent now and leave me alone. Let me speak and I will face the consequences. Amen. Job's response to his friends assures us that we can be honest with God in even the most painful situations, trusting God to be God in the process. So let me give you a little context to today's scripture. In the land of Uz, Job, a righteous man, lived a life of prosperity and devotion. But in the celestial realms, Satan challenged God's confidence in Job, accusing him of superficial loyalty. So God allowed Satan to test Job's faith with the condition that he wouldn't harm him directly. Suddenly, calamity struck. Job lost his livestock, his fields were destroyed, and his children died. Afflicted with painful sores, he suffered immensely. Even his wife told him to curse God and die. That's how bad it got. Despite all his anguish, Job held fast to his faith, which brings us to our text today, where his own friends, misunderstanding his plight, accused him of wrongdoing. They said, "Oh, this is all happening because you sinned. It's all your fault that God is punishing you." And Job laments, and he does not listen to the accusation of his friends. Rather, he takes his complaints in lamentation directly to God. Friends, Lent is a time for raw honesty with God, ourselves, and others. Lament is honesty. It is about being fully honest with ourselves and God. In day-to-day life, there are layers to the truths we are willing to share and to face. For example, when we ask each other, "How are you doing?" we often give or expect the response, "Fine" or "Good." And this may be true, but what if we stopped and asked, "How are you really doing?" We might give or get a different answer, or at least one that is more complex or nuanced. The practice of laments can move us to live in deeper honesty. In today's scripture, we first learn to let God be God. I'll say that again. In today's scripture, we first learn to let God be God. Job's friend, Zophar, thinks the suffering that Job is experiencing is God's judgment and less than what God deserves at that. Zophar thinks Job has no right to try and defend himself. He believes that Job has no right to question God. Hear what he says in Job chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. Shouldn't someone answer this torrent of words? Is a person proved innocent just by a lot of talking? Should I remain silent while you babble on? When you mock God, shouldn't someone make you ashamed? You claim, my beliefs are pure and I'm clean in the sight of God. If only God would speak, if only he would tell you what he thinks, if only he would tell you the secrets of wisdom, for true wisdom is not a simple matter. Listen, God is doubtless punishing you far less than you deserve. In verses 1 through 3 of today's passage, Job responds to his friend's accusation and advice. He says, look, I've seen all of this with my own eyes and heard it with my own ears, and now I understand. I know as much as you do. You are no better than I am. As for me, I would directly speak to the Almighty. I want to argue my case with God himself. And we can clearly see that Job has a deeper sense of who God is. He recognizes that God is not a harsh, distant lawmaker. Job knows that even though God is all-powerful and all-knowing, God calls people into an active relationship. And by the way, active relationships require dialogue. They require questioning. They require back and forths. So Job knows that God calls people into an active relationship. On the other hand, Job's friends have put God in a box, thinking it is not okay to question or cry out to God. And we see this. We see this in his friend when he says that, you know, you shouldn't be speaking out against God. If only God would speak, if only God would tell you what he thinks. Listen, God is doubtless punishing you far less than you deserve. That's what the friend is saying. And Job sees that God is bigger than him and his friends, and that God doesn't need to be defended or protected as we see in verses 7 through 10. He said in verses 7 through 10, are you defending God with lies? Do you make your dishonest arguments for his sake? Will you slant your testimony in his favor? Will you argue God's case for him? What will happen when he finds out what you are doing? Can you fool him as easily as you fool people? No, you will be in trouble with him if you secretly slant your testimony in his favor. I want you to think about this. Job is saying, listen, you think you're doing God a service by lying for God in God's favor. But God knows what God's doing, and God knows what I have and haven't done, and I haven't done the things that you're claiming I did. I don't deserve all of this stuff that's befalling me, and God knows that. So do you think your lies are going to make things better for you in the sight of God? Of course not. Friends, faith crumbles when we put God in a box because we don't bring everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to God. We are not allowing God to be God. God doesn't need us to defend why things are happening. God is doing what God does. And we need to allow God to be God. Think about what you are keeping hidden from God because you don't think God can handle it, or you have some other limiting idea of who God is. For example, God will punish you if you have questions or complaints, or God only lets people suffer who deserve it. Bad theology. Job, and the witness of Scripture at large, challenges these limiting ideas. Job openly engages in a relationship with God and questions him outwardly. Next, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Because Job lets God be God, He is willing to put all his grief and complaints out there in prayer, in lament, and trust God. He is willing to have hard conversations with God. And like I said, the fact that we are willing to lament to God is proof that we believe God's existence. Otherwise, why lament? Even though Job does not know what will happen when he makes his case before God, and we can see this in verse 13b, he knows God can handle his full, honest truth. What trust this requires. Sometimes when we're not honest with God, it's because we haven't been honest with ourselves. The gift of lament is not just bringing our sorrows to God, but also being honest with ourselves. For instance, we are often not honest because we feel shame, or because it makes the suffering, you know, more real, or because we have a fear of change or of judgment, or we don't want to be perceived as out of control. While we can say whatever we want to each other, Job reminds us that God already knows the full truth. God searches us out, and we cannot deceive God, as it says in verse 9. So let me ask, when are we not fully honest with God? And when we are not fully honest with God, it is ourselves, my friends, that we are hurting. To be honest with the one who is truth takes humility, recognition of our own brokenness, and willingness to receive whatever is next. And I want to remind you that God is love and God has compassion, even when we might have trouble feeling or recognizing it. This is the God we are turning to with our honest laments. Finally, we have to let others lament and be present. Job's friends are ignoring the brutality of what he has experienced and speaking falsely and deceivingly for God, as we see in verses 4 and verses 7 through 8. Not only does that do no good for God, but it's damning to Job to hear that. They're telling Job that God's punishing him for what he had done, and we know from the outset of the story that's not the case. God is not upset with Job at all. God's boasting about how great Job is. So the friends are clearly wrong, and yet they're acting like they're right. And Job calls them out on it. Job calls them out on it. Again, we have to let others lament and be present. And Job's friends are ignoring the brutality, and they're speaking falsely against Job for God. But why? Why would you do that? Their motives are probably hidden from themselves. I mean, this is a temptation for us too, to try and rationalize for God and make excuses. Oh, God wouldn't give you more than you can handle. Or, oh, we know that God acts in mysterious ways. You know, we try to come up with phrases that will, I guess what we feel is it'll ease the suffering of somebody else, but what it does is invalidate their suffering and make them feel like they're at fault for what's happening to them, when that's not the case per se. So this is a temptation for us too, especially in the face of others suffering or in our own suffering. There is something reflexive about our defending of God. Perhaps it has something to do with not wanting to admit that things could be really as bad as they seem, or not wanting to give up our own, again, perceived control over our suffering, or admit we do not know what God is doing and thinking. Sometimes we have a problem admitting that. But Job is pointing out the dangers of dishonesty and talking just to talk throughout this passage. Job teaches us that when others are suffering, simply being present with them in silence is often a more helpful and honest response than anything we can say. We must allow God to be God instead of trying to jump in ourselves, even when it's challenging. So let me encourage you to reflect on where in your life you may not be fully honest with yourself and God. With that in mind, here are some examples of how we can grow to be more open and honest with God. Through our spiritual disciplines, first off, attending regular worship, participating in the sacraments such as Holy Communion, joining small groups, studying the Bible, and serving with others in mission and ministry. We can pray the Ignatian Examen, where we seek God's light and examine the day in prayer, excuse me. We can seek out a spiritual director or mentor. I want to encourage you to consider your assumptions, worries, and shoulds or should nots about what will happen or what God will think or do if you are completely honest. Also, I challenge you to test the waters this week with one thing, just one thing, that you may be holding back from God or yourselves. Friends, this is deeply personal, and you don't have to share it with anyone if you don't want to. It can be between you and God. As disciples, you may still be learning to trust God and may be worried about God's anger or judgment if you are totally honest with what you are thinking or feeling. The Ignatian Examen mentioned earlier begins by imagining God's loving presence surrounding oneself. In the same way, any self-examination should begin in a place of safety, either by remembering God's love and forgiveness, or by imagining oneself in a safe location or with a safe person. Are there times when or ways in which our church tends to downplay the complexities of life or tries not to allow other people's experiences to trouble the waters of faith or the community? When do we flatten out others' experiences? Shifting responsibility to those who are struggling. I'm not saying we do this consciously or even outwardly, but when does the church fail to fully listen? And I think this question fits our church much more than the previous ones. When does the church struggle to be honest about its own experiences? Perhaps about changing realities or needing to let go of programs or events there is no longer capacity for or that are no longer serving the community. Or how about an event or loss such as the pandemic and how that has changed the community? How can we continue to create a space of honesty where we can both express our lament over losses and changes and we can honestly seek answers to our questions and direction for our church? God is gifting us with such a time now. Let us bear patiently with each other and allow God to be God as we move forward from where we are to where God is calling us to be. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for inspiring us and challenging us with this message. Lord, like Job, we are called to respond in faith and in trust. It's easy, like the friends and others in Job's life, to get caught up in the circumstances and to allow that to think that for some reason you are against us along with the world. But Job had greater faith in that, and Job knew that it had nothing to do with him, but that you were with him regardless, and that he could bring those complaints to you, and that you would see it through with him. Lord, you will see it through with us. Help us to have faith in that, and help us to reflect that faith to others in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, thank you for tuning in, and I want to again remind you that we do have episode notes to check out. I do hope that you get something out of this, just like I get something into putting, into recording them. I hope you get something out of it. And if you do, and you find that this has blessed you and you want to bless us back, you can certainly click on the links below to or in the episode notes, and they will take you to our giving pages, and you can give to support the mission and ministry of First United Methodist Church of Newton, where I serve. As always, these messages are free, but if you have that in you and are able to, we would greatly appreciate it. If not, or if you serve another congregation and that's where you're supporting, that is fine too. In fact, we encourage you to support your congregation, and if you can give to us on top of that, that would be very helpful. With all of that said, remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.